Artlist.io.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get a rest, yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed, yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Hey, hey, welcome back. It's your boy C-Rock here in That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. We're back and glad to be here. Exposing the journey to success. You know, as we know, as talk about it all the time, the journey is invisible. You don't see all the sleepless nights, the waking up, not feeling like doing something you have to do, confronting someone or something you have to do, the money, the cash flow management, the uncertainty, the stress, the things that it does to your relationship, all the stuff that like we appears negative to us. We don't get to see that. We just see the like results a lot of times of people's success. And, you know, we want to continue to expose that. And I have a great guest today. Daylene Higgins is here. I hope I said your name right, Daylene. Daylene?
Yes. Yes, you did. Yeah.
All right, cool. I always do that. Like, I mean to do that at the beginning of the show before we get on here. And then I, like, as soon as I look up at the name when I start the show, I'm like, oh, I forgot to check. So anyway, man, that was good. I got it good, though. Daylene Higgins is a financial coach for Gen Xers and host of the Wealthy After 40 podcast. After reaching her dream of retiring early at age 50, guys, if you're watching this, she doesn't look 50. Anyway, she decided she wanted to help others do the same. Now she's on a mission to help Gen Xers ditch debt, save for retirement, and live life on their own terms. Welcome to the show, Daylene.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, look, this journey that we need to expose of yours, I want to learn more about it, but we start the show the same way. And that's with this question back here on the wall. What are you made of?
Oh, wow. Lots. Grit. I worked with law enforcement officers for 32 years. I was 18 years old when I started. So I think about that and the person I am. It's now been 34 years since I started that journey. And I realize how different I am just because of my experiences and because of working in a male dominant area. I was not a dispatcher. I was interactive with them. I was involved with them. We were deep in cases together. I've supported them. I was just a support personnel. I was not an officer either. But yet, that has made me who I am today in a lot of my reaction or even my comments to people. And so I think I have a lot of grit from that, watching that and knowing that, you know, when you get down to the wire and you've got to do something, that you just do it. You just do it. And adrenaline hopefully takes over. So.
Did you, I don't know why this question is coming to me now, but did you see a lot of people self-medicating based on the stress that they were dealing with in law enforcement?
Yes, later. Early on was way different. So the two generations I was exposed to, really, it was two different generations. As it evolved over time, yeah, they were really starting to self-medicate, whether that was alcohol or, you know, maybe they had a surgery. I had one officer, he had a surgery and just that addiction to it that I'm sure freed him from a lot of the pain of the job. That was really tough. It was really tough, but he actually came out of it greater than going into it. And so, you know, they're really strong individuals, even if they do have those moments, but they're just such great people, such great people.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes they get a bad name based on the news and the media and all that. And there's always bad nuggets in a bunch. And, so anyway, so in doing that, like, how did you end up getting into the financial industry?
So I was 18 when I started a government job. So I had a pension option. After 30 years, I could qualify to, you know, retire and take a 40% cut in pay. So I did 32 years and I did that. I took a 40% cut in pay. And so I was 50 years old and I was like, well, what am I going to do? I can't just stay home and take care of the house. I'm an empty nester. It's just me and my husband. My daughter does not live close by. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I was exploring all avenues. I'm an avid fiction reader. So I'm like, oh, I could go help at the schools. You know, I could go read with the kids and, you know, or I could go help at the library, volunteer there. And so finally I came across financial coaching and I'm like, I have just reached my big financial dream. Why can't I take that, you know, that energy that I had and go and do that? So that's when I just started down that road. It was about 6 months before I retired. I started down learning and exploring and building my business. And so when I retired, the day after, I started my own business as an entrepreneur, which is way different than being a clock, you know, checking in, checking out clock worker. Even though that had its tough times, entrepreneurship has, the last 18 months, I have grown so many leaps and bounds. And it's just amazing that there's so much more I didn't know that I have learned. And, you know, I said to my husband, I'm like, I pulled out a resource I got last October, made no sense last year. I just pulled it out and I'm like, well, hello, it makes sense now, you know? And so yeah. It's definitely a growth journey. So.
And so you started this business 18 months ago?
Yes. June of 2022.
Gotcha. Okay. So that gives me a good reference of where you are with the business and all that. And I can relate because I've done so many startups and all this other thing. So I got to ask you a question though, because you said you're 50 maybe 51 by now, but at the end of the day, like, how do you keep your skin so good? Cause your skin, you look like literally, I'm not trying to like, make you feel good. I mean, just really look good.
I've been networking with people and they're like, well, when you turn 50, and I'm thinking I would leave and go downstairs and I go,
yeah,
like I am that, you know? And so I don't know. I think I was blessed. My mom, she really had great skin as well. Even though fair complected, I think I'm not as fair as her, but she was very fair complected and she really didn't. Yeah. She looked great she passed at 88. She looked great. Yeah. She looked great. So I think I'm blessed.
I try to take care of my stuff. Like I put retinol on and toner. I don't even know what the stuff's for. I just know that, you know, so after I get out of the shower, skin's important, you know, and especially if you're on camera a lot, I don't ever want to do the plastic surgery stuff and all that. So I got to try to keep out of it. So anyway, I just noticed that. And I thought, you know, I thought you like, no.
Well, thank
anyway,
you.
So with the business journey, you know, before you, like you started a business really, right? And, but like, how did you start the business when you just got out of working somewhere and like prior to your education and stuff? So, like what were your deliverables when you first started?
So luckily I had an accounting degree. Okay. So I had a bachelor's and then I had my MBA. So I had a basis of at least business structure and then slight understanding. But I hired me a business coach and I also used a SCORE mentor. So that SCORE.org, I had a mentor. He reached out and basically helped me set up, you know, the first steps to get going. And then investing a lot in myself as far as training coaches, masterminds, you know, whatever that looked like. Has really helped me find what those skills and those tools that I need. Just reaching out to others, having them help me, people who had been there before.
Yeah. And you know, the biggest thing too in business that people miss is the underestimation amount of effort it takes to market your business and get it in front of people, enough people to make money at it. Yeah. Because, you know, it's a numbers game and you got to be in front of enough people to show them what your value is and then get them to, you know, present enough people for them to say yes. Because not everybody says yes. I haven't met anybody yet that has a 100% closing percentage. So, so what was the marketing understanding like? And did you, like, how did you figure out how to market your business?
Oh gosh. So I had absolutely no marketing experience, right? As cops, we don't have to market. People find people for us. We find people because they're stupid, you know? So I had no exposure to marketing other than myself as being a consumer. And so, you know, luckily with my business coach and exploring different small masterclasses, webinars, learning all the things, you know, so social media, how you need to get that personal brand out there, learning about podcasts, you know, and just doing that. I just did a lot. My very first year, I did a lot. And then what I did since July is I've just refined. What I found most joy in marketing is what I've stuck to. And then just trying to double down on that. So,
yeah. And then you found podcasting early on in your business too, which is cool because you have a podcast. And how many episodes are you on now?
I just released 36 last week. And so awesome. I'm taking December off. So 37 will release on January 2nd.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So podcasting's huge. Okay. And we've never met before the show, right? I got introduced to you by my partner, Todd, and shout out to Todd Armstrong. Yep. I've done over 900 shows and podcasting's changed my life and business. So I'm always excited to see other people getting into this journey and not only having a show, but being on shows consistently, making it a part of guesting. I'm talking about making it a part of your life and business. It is, I haven't seen much more powerful more effective, more efficient in business than podcasting. And so, you know, I get excited when I see other people starting to dive into it. What have you seen now since you've had 36 episodes? And I'm assuming you go on shows regularly as well.
Yes. Yes, okay. I do.
So what have you seen since you started?
Really a flow of leads. So, you know, the whole time last year doing all of the marketing strategies that I was trying, you know, they're like 90 days, 90 days. Well, podcasting is easy. At least it was for me, you know, stick with it. And it really was on that 90-day mark. I started seeing more people trickle into my Facebook group, coming into my community to learn more, to grow, and to be supported. But I also love the journey of the guesting. Well, and also hosting guests, meeting people, learning about them, you know, just growing together, I think is what's been great. I actually was interested in it October of last year, and I really kicked myself for not doing it. It was about a 6 month of can I, can't I type of thing. And finally finding somebody that would help me and just went from there. It really, I think the sooner you can do it, the better. And then, you know, I was on a show last week and the guy says, well, you know, you're in the top 1%. And I'm like, what does that mean? You know? And he was like saying, most people don't make it past episode 7. And then if they make it past that, they don't make it past episode 20. And I'm like, well, I wasn't worried about those little numbers. I was worried about what do I do after episode 100? So still have a ways to go, but you know, it's just planning and preparing, but I love it. I've enjoyed it. I don't see it going away soon.
And for your show, is it just you by yourself or do you have guests?
And I do have guests once a month, once or twice a month, depending on how it falls. And so I really tried to get those guests to support my, not just my mission, but the Generation X. So that's my focus, is over 40 and all of the problems, the challenges, the hurdles that we face in our life. So financially or other, you know, we're caring for aging parents and how that looks and how we can support that better. Raising kids, getting them into college, getting them to be, you know, producing adults. So anything that fits in any of those realms, I love jumping on with as guests and supporting them and helping them, you know, increase their knowledge, because that's where doing better with money is. It's all about, well, it's anything, right? You've got to increase your knowledge about certain things. And so as long as I can fill those little holes, I'll bring a guest on quickly for that. So
yeah, no, 100% knowledge. It's like one thing I figured out is anytime I'm insecure, if I'm not getting the results I want, if I'm not moving as fast as I want, going big as I want, it's just that I don't know something. And that has given me so much power in my life, just knowing that I have control over it. Just got to go seek the knowledge. Let's go back a little bit in time. Like, I really want to know, like, what are some of the most challenging times of your life, whether it's professional or personal, but like, because at the end of the day, you weren't doing entrepreneurship before until a year and a half ago. Right. So we don't have need, it doesn't have to be an entrepreneurship, but what was some of the most challenging moment of your life?
Probably when my sister-in-law passed away. We had helped co-sign on her home. She was a single mom, wanted to protect that home for her daughter. So we co-signed with her for protection of that. She passed away suddenly, and all of a sudden we have an extra added expense, not just a small one, but a big one. And it took us about 5-6 months to find a good rhythm with it, to have, you know, she was an alcoholic. And so we had to clean it up. We really had to do some remodeling before we could get renters in. That was our suggested by our lender. And so we just worked hard. In fact, I was telling my daughter last night, I said, you realize that your dad and I will have been married 30 years next year. She's like, are you going to celebrate? And I said, well, so I was, you know, reminiscing back to this house time, because that was our 20 year. And that seems like a real mile marker. And I'm like, oh, we should celebrate. And then we end up with this house in our lap. And that's what we did. We did for our 20th anniversary of just him and I going over there, and whether we were painting or drywalling or whatever it was, you know, we were over there. And so that was a really tough time for us. It was, in fact, my daughter and my husband are like, we were 30 days from broke. I don't feel like we were quite there, but it was really one of our strapped times for money, you know, and everybody has those. But at that moment, like, my daughter's like, I couldn't even ask you for underwear. And I'm like, no, you could have, but she even felt it as well. And she was like 10, 11 years old, you know? So it was a tough time, but just getting dirty with it in a way of just, okay, we can pursue this. 5-6 months, we finally got renters in there. We had a great property manager. And we held on to it for 3 years, and then, you know, we sold it and we got out of that. Well, so it was good.
Well, so that was in 2013-ish?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was right after like the 2008 meltdown and all that. So it's like probably underwater. I'm assuming it was close to, it was hard to sell it at that.
Well, she's like, I think the lender was like, the market, if you just hold on to it for 3 more years, the market will be fine. And so, you know, it was in a better position within that. So luckily we're in a college town, so there's seems to be more demand always, but, you know, definitely finding that perfect demand, I guess.
What college are you near?
Brigham Young University.
Oh, okay. BYU. Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So, awesome. Yeah. And so, and thing is, like, if now looking back though, and I know we shouldn't regret, but like, if you look at what that property is worth today, based on the last 3 years, like, what do you think? Like, you think it would have doubled?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right now, we're just crazy high here.
Yeah.
So even my house I'm in now, which is paid off, I'm like, I couldn't afford my house, you know?
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. And, you know, prior to that, we're like, do we want to own property? Do we want to be real estate investors? Do we want to do that? And we did explore it. But again, with the high demand for the college around her, we asked her, she was our property manager, but she was a realtor at the time. And I'm like, can we get a fourplex or a duplex? She goes, no. And we're like, no. And she's like, no, they're held on to for so long. Mm-hmm. You know, they go through all the families, all their kids. And so she's like, it's just not a thing. And I'm like, okay. So we kind of got out of it at then. And then we fell into it with that stint. And that was 3 years. That was a little hot. It was a little hard. We realized that wasn't for us.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of different avenues for passive, you know, passive income, but that definitely was not for us. So.
Yeah. You know, with real estate, like I've been in real estate for 20 years, mortgages and, you know, all that stuff. I had rental properties. And I get all the tax advantages of, like, I'm not trying to talk against real estate investing, but there was one thing I just could not stand is dealing with like that call from a renter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or chasing rent or it's just like it repulses me. It's wild. And some people love it, you know? So anyway, so then going from here, what is like, what's the vision? Like, what do you want to happen going forward if in a perfect world with what you're doing? Like if you could just snap your fingers and make it happen, what's it look
like? Yeah. In a perfect world, I'd have a stream of clients regularly, getting them off and it, almost like raising your child, right? Helping them through, getting them set up, learning all the things that within, you know, 3, 6, 12 months, they leave and another, you know, group comes in, and just being able to make such good financial people to make their own decisions, right? So they can choose if they want to be real estate investors. So they can choose what they want to do for their children, you know, monetarily or whatever it is. I would just love to have that constant flow and serving people and providing them with the knowledge that it was a 15-year journey for me, and I love numbers. And so I know that was an added thing and that helped me. But yet, you know, when you were talking about you learning something, that was what propelled me through. I did my budget. I did my savings. I managed my debt. But it was that final step of learning little different pieces of personal finance. What are taxes? What does that really mean? How does that benefit me? What does that look like to me? You know, investing for myself, what is that, you know, all of that, and did that from insurance to, you know, utilities and to a house and to, you know, remodeling and upgrading and just learning in that and growing. And so I would love to help people get there more quickly just because it, you know, it took me a while, but I'd share my, you know, experience, my expertise, my knowledge.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times it's just people have a good idea of this stuff. They just need validation from someone else, or they need clarity, or they need to get a step away from emotions. Like that we're always trapped in some emotions or present time, small little problems we think are bigger. And then just having that person outside of that realm, it's huge, right? So, and then what is the thing, like, you know, you talk about learning more and knowledge and all that. What is it that you're like, what do you feel like now that you really need to seek more knowledge on for your business?
Really just helping my clients. Like, how can I serve them? Is that more exercises, worksheets, you know, things to move them forward? That's where I'm in right now, is trying to build that up better, bigger and better. So.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you one thing is, you know, one thing I really aim to do is always cause and create future. Right. And really getting an idea, and you probably do this, but I'm not, you know, not assuming, but like really getting an idea of what they want. Because I think that's where it starts. Most people don't know what they want, Daylene, right? Yeah. I mean, like they just live their life and they're kind of drifting and they just wake up and do the thing that they need to do every day. Mm-hmm. And they really don't, like people don't really have the power that we have to cause and create the life we want.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if we just start with that clarity, not know how to do it, we don't have to know how to do it. Cause I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I decided to get known globally, but clarity and commitment. And then all of a sudden your attention, I have this formula, by the way, I'd love to share it with you. Your intention, when we set that, creates your attention focus. And what you pay attention to, what you pay attention to validates your intention. And then you're able to lean into it more and it creates this world that you're living in. Most people don't set the intention. And if you don't set the intention, somebody else will. And then you end up going through somebody else's intention. You're paying attention to all the bad stuff on TV. And then you're creating this world you're just like wake up to and you're like, I don't even want to, Mondays suck. I hate Mondays instead of loving Mondays, you know?
Yeah.
So I have this formula. It really works for me and I love to share it with people. So anyway, so from here going forward with your business and your podcast and all that, have you thought about like making being a guest on podcasts a part of your life and business? Have you thought about like being an influencer and a speaker, like on physical stages? Like where's your thought process when it comes to, you know, Daylene and becoming known like I decided to?
Right. Yeah, definitely podcasts. So my podcast guesting, I am an introvert to that respect of I'd rather just stay in my little home in my little shell and have people, you know, online. But it's funny because I was actually thinking of this the other day. I'm like, okay, be a thought leader, right? How can I be a thought leader? And one of the podcasts I did last week was, you know, we were talking about groups and a retreat for women to just start talking about money. And so that's been swimming around in my head of who could I go to for that space, you know, because it needs to be in person. And that doesn't scare me. So to me, it'd be more smaller stages, intimate areas, little, you know, whether you call them retreats or just a get together, whatever it is to help build up women. So my focus is really women, but I definitely wouldn't be opposed to, you know, taking men. I've had men clients, I've had couples, but just helping women to realize that they can do it, that they have the power, you know,
community, build a tribe, right? Yep. That's what like, and here's the thing. So like, I love that. Like you're talking about more intimate spaces rather than just big space and all. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. It's like whatever you like. But like, if you just go on Airbnb, and this is what I do. Okay. Cause I'm going to start something in 2024. I'm starting these events for content and getting people to lower their ambition and then find out who they are and leaning into it to build their brand and all that. But I started to do this thing where I'd go on Airbnb and I'd pick a location and then I pick a 10 bedroom house. And which is like a big 10 to 15 bedroom house. And I just start looking and I go through the pictures and I start visualizing what a retreat would look like or what a, you know, I love to shoot content there for people. So they have content for the social media. And I start looking at it and it gets me excited. And then that emotion starts to spurn the activity to do that. So yeah, check that out. Get on Airbnb, pick a location that you would like to travel to for get paid to vacation in a way. Right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And start just visualizing that. And then from there, really what it comes down to, you just create a landing page and put on the landing page pictures of the place that you're going to do it at with some deliverables, the date and a cost. And then just start promoting that landing page.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how you do it. And I'm excited because I'm going to start doing these as well. I've been going to other people's, but I've been wanting to, you know, host my own.
Love it.
I'm all for that. Any way I can help you or, you know, if you want to run something by me, I'm happy to help you with that. And anybody listening, if you guys are interested in doing any of these kind of things, just, you know, hit me up because I love talking about this stuff and I learn from other people. When Daylene, you go through it, you know, there might be some time or something where it's like, you figured something out and I didn't think of it. And then I'll be like, yeah, I like to try it that way too. You know, and my niche is totally different than yours. So we could collab and help it. And that's what it's all about. So I love it. Yeah. I'm rooting for you. I really, you know, would love to see you get in on more shows. More people need to hear from you and be happy to help you out in that way, any possible way as well. So guys, listen, go check out the Wealthy After 40 podcast. On Instagram, Daylene is elevate_finances. You can check that out as well. Anywhere else we want to send them, Daylene?
they can visit my website at www.elevatefinances.us. So it's brand new to me.
That's all right.
It looks better.
That's good. That's
so
good.
Go check it out. All my stuff's there.
Let's go, guys. If you resonate with Daylene, go check her out. Let her know you heard her here. Daylene, thank you so much for joining us today on the What Are You Made Of show.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Hang tight for a second. Guys, make sure you're subscribing, liking, commenting, all the stuff that you know how to do, but also tell people about the show because we're exposing the invisible journey to success. We want to inspire people to have success and understand that you're not alone if you go through some heartaches, some setbacks, some discouragement. You just got to keep pursuing. And one common theme I've seen on this show is persistence. It's persistence that wins. It's the people that kept going when it got tough. And so I want to encourage you today to do that. And until next time, it's your boy C-Rock signing off. Be that one.